Well, I feel like the Lord's been talking to me all week long, and so I just want to share some things with you. I wrote on the board, God has options. I began Monday morning. I was just having worship and was reading in 1 Timothy 2 and 1. Maybe we'll turn there. And as I started reading this, I just couldn't go any further. It seemed like the Lord just started talking to me, and first couple verses or first five or six, that's all I could get to, and just seemed like all week long those verses have been reverberating in my soul. And I would like to ask the Lord to enliven this to us this morning, because I believe He wants to do that. You know, it begins in 1 Timothy 2 and 1. It says, exhort therefore. Exhort. Tell the people that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So I want us to think a little bit this morning about these verses here that exhorts us that first of all, supplications, prayers and intercessions be made for all men, and giving of thanks. I want to think a little bit about what that means this morning. You know, I believe that if the Lord tells us that I want you to pray earnestly for such and such a thing, I think He wants to do something about such and such a thing, don't you? I think if He tells us that I want you to have supplications and prayers and intercessions for kings and for all that are in authority. You know, this morning, I feel a great, grave weight. And I mean this today. I feel a grave weight about the movement, about the work of our leaders in our nation. Because God has put something on you and me to do something about it. And I want us to think a little bit this morning, not just in that sense, but in a lot of things. And we'll go a lot of other places, Lord willing. But I want us to think this morning about what it means to supplicate. Supplication is more than a casual prayer. It's more than saying our bedtime prayers. It's more than saying what we always say if we do, or what we learned as a child, or whatever. It's more than that. It's an earnest entreaty before God. And it's coming before the Lord with more than just a casual, Lord, here's what we need. Lord, I want you to bless our leaders. And we go on, and that's it. I'm thinking this morning, and I believe this with all my heart. I believe what Paul wrote here under inspiration was to try to tell us something that, folks, there's some heavy work for you and me to do between us and the Lord for the things that go on around us. When the scriptures tell us here that prayers and intercessions, you know, I think about intercessions being prayers on the behalf of others. Now, thinking outside the realm of leaders and all of that, you know what it means when we come before God and we begin interceding with God? Lord, would you have mercy on this person for my prayer's sake? Would you have mercy for Jesus' sake this morning? You know, there's something I think we know this in our minds, but I think maybe sometimes it's far underrated as far as our real doing and feeling of it. But God wants to intervene on the behalf of others for prayer's sake this morning. That's called interceding, intercessory prayer. And we find Jesus interceding before God, his blood shed, and he is an intercessor. And by his arm, we are healed. By his arm, we are delivered. And by his sacrifice and by his intercession for us, God has mercy on you and me. We know that, don't we? And because Jesus did that, now we have a place too, where God hears us. And now that bridge has been restored between us and God, where we ourselves can come to God. What a privilege this morning. I was just thinking all week long, this so touched me Monday. I was just expecting to read the chapter and kind of think about it a little bit. And I started reading, and I couldn't get away from it. All week long, I just keeps coming back to me. You know what? God wants us to intercede. He wants us to intercede for other people. He wants us to call upon him for the needs that there are. He wants us to call upon him for those in leadership places, whatever spectrum that might be. We think of that primarily as the leaders of our land. But, you know, there's people among us, there's ministers that need God's help every day. We need the Lord to intervene many times. We need the Lord to give anointing. We need the Lord to give us wisdom. We need the Lord to give us from his gracious hand. Do you know some of that is because of you that's here this morning? Some of that, and believe me, I know some of them here that pray. Actually, some of them are not here this morning right now. But I regularly get texts and told, we're praying for you this morning. You know what that means to me? I believe God hears that intercessory prayer. I believe that he hears that call upon God. Lord, would you have mercy today? Would you bless? What about those that are unsaved? And we're coming up to a meeting here. And I long for the Lord to reveal to hearts in a deeper way what he wants to reveal. I long for the Lord to start talking to different ones, to start giving calls of the Spirit. I've got a little job over here I need somebody to do. And the Lord's talking to somebody about it. You know how refreshing that is? And we've been seeing it. And I thank God for that this morning. We've been seeing that. The call of the Lord. The working of his work on hearts and calling people to a deeper place and to do his work and to serve him in those ways. Folks, that's a work of the Spirit of the Lord. But it lies partly on you and me to intercede in prayer. It lies partly on you and me to intercede for those that are not saved this morning. Lord, would you call those folks? Would you bring them to a place where they can see through that mask that Satan has in front of their eyes and he has them blinded? That's what the scriptures say. They're blinded. And many times people are blinded. They're blinded by their own self, by the love of the world and the things in the world. They're blinded by so many things. And yet there's a place for you and me to intercede, to what's the word here? To supplicate before God. Prayers, Lord, would you help this one to overcome what they're dealing with? Lord, would you help this one that's sick? Do you know that's all of our job this morning? And then when we go and pray for them and anoint with oil, you know what? We want all that working together, don't we? The Lord help us this morning that I believe the Lord wants to work all the time. I believe he just longs to pour out his Spirit graciously. I believe he longs to trouble people about getting saved. He loves to do that. You know what part of it is? That we do more than casually bring it before him. Lord, would you speak to souls? Lord, would you speak to my child, my spouse, my whatever? Lord, would you speak to that one over there? Lord, I see where they're going. I know they're going to suffer. Give them 5 years, they're going to be suffering from the effects of sin. Could you arrest them here beforehand? Would you deal with their hearts in the night? I think God wants to do that this morning. And so I want to look a little bit. I know we mention this scripture occasionally and probably always will. I just believe in it so much. James 5 and 16. At the end of that verse, after it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed, it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I just want us to get a hold of this morning that we have privileges in the Lord that are worthy, that are worthwhile. And so when it says here that it availeth much, it goes on to tell about Elijah and his prayers and how God answered those prayers. And I want to look back and read just a little bit. I'll read a few verses here of what happened, because I want to understand. It says here, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What does it mean to be effectual? And what does it mean to be fervent? And is that something that we can just do? Or how does this happen? How does it work? I want to look a little bit at Elijah's situation this morning in 1 Kings 18 and 41. We see him. First Kings 18. And Elijah said unto Ahab, now this was after all that had happened. I've talked about it several times lately, but this was after all that had happened with the prophets of Baal and all of that. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Now, the scriptures in James 5 tell us about this happening. And that Elijah was just a man of like passions as we are. That means he was human. He was not some angel put here. Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. And he prayed that it might not rain. And it didn't rain for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And then we go on and see how he prayed again. But I want to look at his prayer here. Because he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. I can see his very posture was complete dependence upon the Lord. Lord, I need you to help me. I told Ahab it was going to rain. And Lord, but don't you know the Lord was kind of working in all of this too? I know he was. And so there he was with his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. Now, he could have said, Lord, I prayed. I ask you plainly and there it goes. I'm going to leave it with you. But you know, he went a little farther. And I think this is something we need to get a hold of in our daily walk with the Lord, in our supplication, in our intercessory prayers for other people. And he said, go again, 7 times. And he kept doing that because he was sure that God was going to answer his prayer. Do you know this morning, I really believe that when we begin to follow the Lord like that, Lord, I don't have a thing here. I need you more than anything else right now. And Lord, this situation needs you. Lord, our rulers need you. Lord, my spouse, my children need you. Lord, the young folk, whoever we're looking for to get deeper in the Lord. Lord, would you work? Don't you know the Lord has options, folks, that we never thought about this morning? He has ways of doing things, and we're thinking, Lord, you got to talk to him in that altar service, and Lord, you've got to. Let's get our head down between our knees, more or less. Let's get real humble before God and know that he has options and know that he has ways of working that we never thought of and couldn't think of. And I want to read a few of those this morning. And here he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, his servant said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down that the rain stop thee not. I see a man here that's been walking with the Lord. And I see him believing. I see him praying. I see him having faith. I see him humbling himself and in this place. And he said, you go tell Ahab, you get your chariot and get down where you're supposed to be, because there's a sound of let's see. Get thee down that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I will tell you what God does in payment for those that walk with him. And in payment, he does for those that suffer for him and that give their lives to him. Here was a man that was giving his life to God. And we find him, he said, we find him praying, believing, seeing God start working, and then the heavens got dark. And then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And it says, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Ahab had a chariot. And it sounds to me like Ahab was running, but he had the hand of the Lord on him. Do you know this morning, when you start working with the Lord, interceding before him, walking before him, taking the path of sacrifice, taking the path of the Lord. I want to tell you something this morning. The hand of the Lord comes on you. And there's things, we're still blessed today from this. There's things in your life that will bless your posterity. They'll bless all those around you when you walk with the Lord like that. And I just want to challenge us this morning that we walk with God and that we live a life like this. And so we find Elijah in that place with the Lord. And we see the Lord working with Elijah. We see that happening with Enoch. And it says the Lord just took Enoch. We see that happening with Paul the Apostle. He suffered a lot of times. But oh, how God worked with him. He was bitten by a snake one time, off on the Lord's business, and bit by a snake, a poisonous snake. And what happened? Children, what happened? Did he fall down dead? The people of the island said they were looking for him. This man, he must be really wicked. He's getting ready. He escaped the storm, but he's going to fall down dead. But you know what? He fell into all these things. But God delivered him, didn't he? He didn't feel any ill effects from it, when he should have swollen up and fell down dying, dead. He didn't do that, did he? Because the hand of the Lord was upon him. And so this morning, I really believe, folks, it's a worthwhile life to give ourselves. And I'm saying this before we go into meeting. Lord, help us to pray. Help us to work with you. I believe that Elijah was doing more than just saying, I'm just going to pray this through. I know sometimes we may do that. But I'll tell you, he was walking with the Lord. He was working with the Lord. He was in his will. And the Lord started working with Elijah here. I believe he wants to do that for us. Let's start calling out upon God, unto God. In our morning devotions, Lord Jesus, have mercy upon this one. Lord, have mercy upon that situation. And do you know what? How many times, folks, have we seen it when we do that? How many times have we seen God begin to work in marvelous ways? Many, have we not? Many has been the time, and I would say that's an understatement. Over and over, God works when we get in earnest like this. So God help us today that we do that. In 1 Peter 3 and 12, it says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You know the face of the Lord is against evildoers this morning? Young folks, don't ever set yourself against God. It's a losing proposition. Do you know this morning, when you begin to love evil and do evil, I want to tell you something. The scriptures say the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Get it in your heart. I don't ever want to have God's face set against me. He's against me. I don't want that to happen. It's scripture. I just read it. I didn't say it. I will tell you, but the righteous, those that humble their hearts before God, it says the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. He'll take care of them no matter what happens to them. And he says his ears are open unto their prayers. And so as we live for the Lord in righteousness, godliness, holiness, as we give ourselves to God, give our hearts to him to do his will in our life and not our own. Do you know this morning the ears of the Lord are open to our cries? And so we start pleading. We intercede for those that we love. They don't have to be related to us. We intercede for those that we love. Lord, would you talk to them? I want to encourage us this morning. Let's do some interceding in the next few weeks. This summer, let's do some interceding. Let's take some special time aside and name some folks out. Lord, I want you to speak to them. Deliver them from the enemy's clutches. In Matthew 6 and 28, it's been read so many times, but it's worthy to read many more. And I want to read it this morning again, Matthew 6 and 28, down through 33, I guess. Jesus said to them, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Even Solomon. Now we hear of the glories of Solomon. We hear of the temple. It was an amazing place, full of gold and ivory and all those beautiful things. And magnificent. But he said, I'm telling you, even Solomon wasn't arrayed like one of these little lilies. And he said, you consider them. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? You know, this little phrase, O ye of little faith, I looked that phrase up and I found it several times in where Jesus told them at different times, oh, ye of little faith. And it challenges me. I'm thinking, Lord, help me. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now, he's talking about anxious thought. Don't be anxious about it. We have to remind ourselves of this, don't we? Because the humanity in us just wants to worry about it, wants to think about it, wants to whatever our need is. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, it may not be finances. It may be many other things. But folks, Jesus said sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's come to my mind many times. And I've quieted different thoughts. I mean, not necessarily talking about this here. But you know what? God's going to take care of that day too, isn't he? And so he says, I want you to consider the lilies of the field. They're clothed. I made them. I made them beautiful. I took care of them. I feed them. And you don't do one thing for it. I just take care of them like that. And I want you to know something. I'm going to take care of you like that too. You know, he says, sufficient unto the day is the evil there. Don't think about that. Think about this. I'm going to take care of you. And when that day gets here and that time gets here and that need is there, I'm going to watch out for you too. Thank the Lord this morning. I want to look at 2 Kings 3 and 5 to 10. Another little story we're quite familiar with, most of us. 2 Kings 3 and 5. And it came to pass, when Ahab was dead, that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat. Now, Jehoshaphat was a godly man. And what he was doing hooking up with Israel, I can't figure that out altogether. Maybe he thought when he needed them, they'd be there. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. And he said, which way shall we go up? And he answered, the way through the wilderness of Edom. So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom. And they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. Seems like they should have had better sense than that. There wasn't any water for them, and here they had armies, but no water. Now I'll tell you, if you don't have water, you don't have much. You're not going to last very long, and you're sure not going to fight well. And the king of Israel said, alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. I can see we're going down to defeat here. What are we going to do? That's what the king of Israel said. And looking on down in verse 15, we see that Jehoshaphat knew a little more. He knew about the God of heaven, didn't he? And he was serving not idols, but God. And we see that Elisha was called. And Elisha told him, if it hadn't been for Jehoshaphat, you wouldn't even see my face here. But Elisha came down because there was Jehoshaphat there. And beginning in 15, but now bring me a minstrel. This was Elisha. And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beast. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord, but he will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. You know, this morning, and if you read on in that chapter, you see where he did deliver the Moabites. Well, we'll read on down two more verses. And ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. I'm just thinking this morning, folks, God hears prayer. And God has options that we've never thought of. God has options that don't even make sense. It didn't rain. Nothing happened. It just filled up with water. Somewhere the water came flowing down and it filled up with water because a man of God prayed. I want to tell you this morning, folks, we need to pray. I believe God has options and loves to use those options. And when you start working with God, back and forth with Him, in His work, in His service, in your life with the Lord, just doing His will, whatever that may be in your life, when we start working with God like that, He does things like this. He lets us sometimes come into places where we're in great need. And we see here where there was a man of God that knew the Lord. And you know what he said? He said, there's going to be water in the morning. And he said, I'll tell you something else. What did he say about the Moabites? He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. Do you know that when you walk with the Lord, He not only does what you ask Him to, lots of times the fringe benefit is bigger than what you ask Him for. Lots of times. The Lord does more than we can ask or think many times. And I say many times. And so I want to encourage us this morning that we learn in our experience with the Lord to intercede in prayer. That we learn to pray. That we learn to supplicate before God. Lord, we need your help. We don't know what to do. It looks like maybe you could do this or that or that. You know, God really don't need us to tell Him all of that. But He will work. And so this morning, I want to read a song to us here. It's called He Is Everything to Me. When I was in trouble, my way was dark as night. But Jesus gave me comfort and brought me to the light. He took away my sorrow and made my burden light. He is everything to me. This is the refrain. If it wasn't for the Lord, tell me, what would I do? Oh, tell me, what would I do? Oh, tell me, what would I do? If it wasn't for the Lord, tell me, what would I do? He is everything to me. He's water in dry places. I wonder where that came from. You suppose it came from this that we just read? I don't know. He's bread in a starving land. He is my rock and shelter. He holds me by the hand. And when my friends forsake me, close by my side He'll stand. He is everything to me. Those of you that may not know the Lord like that, I want to tell you this morning, He wants to be that to you this morning. He wants you to be able to sing this song and say, yes. Yes, Lord, I know you in that way. I know you're that way. So when my life is ended and I must surely die, then He will be my gateway up to that home on high. And in that golden city, there will be no more goodbyes. He is everything to me. Let's get to know the Lord this morning. Let's get close to Him. Know His voice. I believe He wants it to be that way. I want to read to you where Peter and John, they were working with the Lord. They were doing His will. They came into a place and there was a lame man that had been lame from birth. And they looked on him, and I believe it's that same place, they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. And this man rose up and And he walked, and I want to say maybe he leaped and ran, but I believe. And, you know, you would think everybody would be happy about God working like that, but everybody wasn't, as is the case so often. Everybody wasn't, and so the chief priests and the rulers and whoever it was anyway, they called them to them and threatened them that they don't speak any more in this wonderful name of Jesus that healed this man. We see here in Acts 4 and 24. And so Peter and John and the disciples heard them, and verse 24 says, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them." And so they were kind of in a bind. These folks had killed the Lord. They had been pretty hard on the Christians already. And Peter and John went back and told the others, this is what they said, and here's what they did. And I want to look at some of these examples of those that have went before us. And what did they do when they got in these kind of places? Verse 29 through 37. "And now, Lord," so they began to pray together. "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You know, these men were already full of the Holy Ghost, but the Lord just gave them another refreshing, didn't he? And began to work in them. The place was shaken. I don't know what that means. Did they have an earthquake? Was it just a spiritual thing? I don't know, but something dramatic happened. And you know, folks, when we come to the Lord and we pray and we lay our case out, He'll cause it to rain. He'll cause things to happen. He'll change things. He'll start dealing with folks. He'll start working with people, and they can't get away from it. God has those options, doesn't He? He has options that we never thought of. And so, you know, what was Peter and John going to do? Their options were, okay, we stay here. We're going to get persecuted. We're going to get killed. We're, you know, all these things. But it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of houses, lands or houses, sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. And I want to read on. In starting in chapter 5, it's a continuation of this story. "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own?" You didn't have to do this, Ananias. "And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. You know what? God has options we don't have, folks. They didn't ask him to do that. They just prayed to God, "Lord, come upon this group. Put the fear of God on them. Lord, work in ways that only you can work. Lord, command your work here. And he did. And who would have thought? It goes on to say, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. Do you know, God has a way of working with things, doesn't he? And folks, this morning, I want to tell you, God has options. We don't have to take everything into our own hands. God has options this morning. And he says here, it goes on to say here, and the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And then his wife came in. She did the same thing. And you know, we find here, where, I'll just read it, I guess. His wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. I wonder if those people that were persecuting them heard those things. I wonder what they were thinking. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And so, and there came also a multitude out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. I just wanted to read that. All of that happened after they were put in this intense place. And they came before the Lord with supplication, with interceding, with prayer, with searching. I'm sure they were, Lord, what do you want us to do? They humbled themselves like Elijah did. And God began to work and began to bless everything. And he blessed, and there was all of this work. Many began to come to the Lord, and many were healed. So this morning, I just say all those things to say, you know what, God, I believe he wants us to consider him in all the things of life. Consider him, that he is able and willing to help us in all of our times of need. Our work is to work with him, to go with him. I thought about two other places here. In Matthew 8 and 24, we read about the great tempest, the great storm that came upon the sea. And the ship, it says, was covered with waves. But Jesus was asleep. It says he was fast asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We perish. And he saith unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? I really believe the Lord wants us to increase our faith this morning. We just need to get a hold of God. We have needs in our families. We have needs in many areas because we're people. We'll always have needs. But God wants to fill those needs. And he doesn't want us to be faithless but believing this morning. Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? I think Jesus probably thought in himself, here they've walked with me all this time. They've seen everything I've done. They know I'm on the ship. And so he says, why are you fearful? Why are you worried about this? And maybe he would say that to us today. Bring it to me. Supplicate. Intercede. And then remember. Remember the lilies. I'm going to make you beautiful. I'm going to take care of you. You're not going to dry it and blow away. The grass, it gets put in the oven and all those things. But you, are you not much more than than those things, are we not, this morning? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. More than they could have asked for again, but the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" And one other place, Matthew 16 and 8. Eight to ten. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, "O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread?" You know, that song says he's bread in dry places, water in a thirsty land. These people really didn't have bread. And maybe they didn't have a clue as to where they could get that much bread. And he said, "Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees?" And so we see here where in verse 8, Jesus said, "O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread?" I think the Lord likes us to get in those places every once in a while. It's stories like that that has given us the Bible. It's many stories like that that gives us faith today, isn't it? It's times when the Lord has worked in our life, when it seemed hopeless. There's no way out. There's no way around when God will work. I thought of one more song. It says here, "You may be down and feel like God has somehow forgotten, that you are faced with circumstances you can't get through. But now it seems that there's no way out and you're going under. God's proven time and time again he'll take care of you." The chorus says, "And he'll do it again. He'll do it again. If you'll just take a look at where you are now and where you've been. Well, hasn't he always come through for you? He's the same now as then. You may not know how. You may not know when. But he'll do it again." God knows the things you're going through. And he knows how you're hurting. You see, he knows just how your heart has been broken in two. But he's the God of the stars, of the sun and the sea, and he is your Father. You see, he can calm the storm, and he'll find some way to fix it for you. Oh, he's still God, and he will not fail you. Oh, he's still God, and he will not change. Know that he's God, and he's fighting for you. Yes, just like Moses, just like Daniel, and just like Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. You may not know how, and you may not know when. You may not know how, and you may not know when, but I know that he'll do it again. He'll do it again, again. We believe that, don't we, this morning? I hope we pluck up faith and courage and prayers and intercessions and supplications and givings of thanks for all men. And for all that are in authority. And for our loved ones. And for our own needs. He'll do it again. Amen.